Just a quick announcement to those maybe who were here last night at the Bible study, saw the work that's being done, and we're so thankful that we're finally getting some action on our heating and cooling, and want to especially thank Paul for his efforts and getting that on the road, and it's certainly going to be a blessing when we get it done. Next week, or I guess at least a week maybe, we know Brother Matt's going to bring those units up, those air conditioning units for us that have been donated. So that also is a big blessing, and we want to thank Almighty Yahweh for that. Now at this time, we'll call Brother Randy Foliard with today's message.
Well, greetings to everybody here. It's a beautiful Sabbath day outside. Already looking for lunch, looking forward to lunch. We can get outside and enjoy the day. It's just a perfect March, Missouri day. As you know, most of you know, Passover is just around the corner. It's a very special time of the year for Yahweh's people. This next new moon should mark the beginning of months, and with that, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During this upcoming Passover season, we're going to once more consider what Yahshua did for us, the sacrifice, the redemption, the horrifying pain that he had to go through. We're going to look at how we must change as believers and walk a better life for Yahweh. But before that, normally before this time, I try to cover what's been called the Passover controversy. You know, when it comes to the Passover, you know, most of us know that there's a huge debate on when and how we're to keep this day. Most know that we here keep the Passover on the 14th of Abib at the beginning of that day at sunset. This is what we've proven to be true from Yahweh's word. Now, many believe that this controversy is something new that has developed in the last few years. But the fact is, this dispute goes back for more than 2,000 years. According to the Encyclopedia Judaica, the Jews originally kept the Passover as two separate observances, as we do, the Passover and the Feast. Passover on the 14th, the Feast on the 15th. But then later combined these two appointed times after, it says, the Babylonian exile or before. Here's the quote. It says, the Feast of Passover consists of two parts. The Passover ceremony and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says originally both parts existed separately, but at the beginning of the exile they were combined. So we see originally in the Torah they were separate. But here, according to the Judaica, it says at the beginning of the exile they were combined, and this is speaking about the Babylonian exile or captivity. You know, even in the New Testament, can we see that there was a difference between when Yahshua kept the Passover and the Pharisees kept the Passover? We know that Yahshua kept the Passover the day before the Pharisees did. We also know historically that there was a difference between when the Sadducees and the Pharisees kept the Passover. The Pharisees kept the Passover on the 15th. The Sadducees kept the Passover on the 14th. Even after Yahshua's death and the demise of the Sadducees in year 70 with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, we know that the early church, Roman church, had disputes on when this day should be observed. And that's what I'm going to focus on for the next several minutes, the history of how this was a debate, even for the early church. This was after the death of Yahshua, after the first century predominantly. So this was some time after the early assembly or the New Testament assembly. It wasn't long, as I said, after his death that a controversy arose in early Christianity. And this controversy, and the title of my message today is a quarterdecimate controversy. That's what it's called, Latin for 14. Latin for 14. And this word, quarterdecimate, was given to those who kept the Passover on the 14th of Abib in the first biblical month. Again, and this was with the early church. We're not talking about the New Testament. We're talking about, or we will be talking about, 2, 3, 4, 500 years into the church. This controversy raged, as I said, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Some of the most notable church historians and leaders continued to observe the 14th Passover on the first month, on Abib, even after the church had ruled otherwise. For example, one of the most well-known church historians, Eusebius, in his book Ecclesiastical History, says this about those who followed the 14th Passover. And this is a fascinating quote from Eusebius. Eusebius says, quote, "A question of no small importance arose at that time." Understand that he says this wasn't a small issue. This was a serious controversy, even in the Roman church. Most people don't realize this. Most people believe that we see what we do in the New Testament after Yahshua's death. The feast days were annulled. The Roman church went to Sunday, to Easter, into what we see today in Christianity. And this just isn't the case. It's just not the case. But he goes on and says, "For the parishes of all Asia, as from an older tradition, held that the 14th day of the moon," that's interesting, moon, he says, not month, moon, "on which day the Jews were commanded to sacrifice the lamb, should be observed as the feast of the Savior's Passover." Here it is, Eusebius, a church historian, using Passover. He goes on to say, "The bishops of Asia, led by Polycrates, decided to hold to the old custom handed down to them. He himself, in a letter which he addressed to Victor," which was the Roman bishop at the time, "in the Church of Rome, set forth in the following words a tradition which had come down to him." And here's his letter to Victor. Quote, "We observe the exact day, neither adding nor taking away. For in Asia also great lights have fallen asleep, which shall rise again on the day of the Master's coming, when he shall come with glory from heaven, and shall seek out all the saints. Among these are Philip, one of the 12 apostles." Notice who's included in this quote. Philip, one of the 12. "And moreover, John, another apostle, who was both a witness and a teacher and martyr, who reclined in the bosom of the Master," it says. "And Polycarp in Smyrna, who was a bishop and martyr, and Thrasus, bishop and martyr from Eumenia. All these," listen, "all these observed the 14th day of the Passover according to," Eusebius says, "gospel, the evangel, deviating," he says, "in no respect, but following the rule of faith." Notice what he says, that all these men, the 12 apostles, John, Philip, and many of the early bishops, Thrasus and Polycarp, all observed the 14th Passover. So we can see from Eusebius that the observance of the 14th Passover continued at least into the second century, 200 years. It's just amazing. It's just amazing that we see the Roman church, the early church, holding to the Passover. Again, many people are unaware that the church continued to observe many of these days. Matter of fact, most don't realize that the early church continued to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. The ISBE, the International Encyclopedia of the Bible, says that this was done at least into the second century, for 200 years. Supposedly, historically, the Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath, was kept by many in the Roman church. It's amazing when you think about what that means. During this time, Sunday wasn't a replacement for the Sabbath. That's why the Pope had to come along later and say, look, this is a day of rest. Because originally it was not a replacement for the Sabbath. It was a feast. It was a feast day to honor Yahshua's resurrection. Of course, they believe Sunday was a resurrection. We know that that occurred late on the Sabbath here. But anyway, the point is, the Sabbath was honored. The seventh-day Sabbath was honored by many for at least 200 years. And the Sabbath was really only replaced when Constantine came along and made his edict, which we will look at in later. It's important to understand that there was a difference in the Quartodeciman controversy between different parts of the world, especially between Rome, and this is essential, between Rome and Asia Minor. Here's an explanation from the New Catholic Encyclopedia, and who better to go to than the Catholics? It says, quote, Quartodeciman, a term used to describe the practice in the early church of celebrating Easter, really should be Passover, on the 14th of Nisan, the day of the Jewish Passover. Quartodecimanism, prevalent in Asia Minor and Syria in the 2nd century, emphasized the death, it says, of Christ, the true paschal victim, while Roman practice emphasized the observance of Sunday as a day of the resurrection. Implicit in these two positions is a disputed chronology of Holy Week. As Christianity said, and listen to this, this is amazing and so true when we look at the history of the early church. As Christianity separated from Judaism, you see they were one and the same at one point, but as it separated from Judaism, it says, Gentile converts or Christians objected to observing the principal Christian feasts on the same day as the Jewish Passover. They wanted to remove any Christian, any Jewish thought. Goes on to says, Roman efforts to induce the Quartodecimans to abandon their practice were unsuccessful. On a visit to Rome, 155, Polycarp of Smyrna discussed the question with Pope Anicetus without, however, reaching agreement. Pope Victor, and this is 189 to 198, give you a time frame there, sought unity through a series of synods, councils, held in both East and West. All accepted the Roman practice except the Asiatic bishops. When Victor attempted cohesion by excommunication, Saint Irenaeus of Lyons intervened to restore peace. It's interesting, Irenaeus's name here literally means peacemaker, and he was one of the ones who prevented the Bishop of Rome from excommunicating the bishops of Asia. I thought that was sort of ironic that the man's name would literally mean peacemaker. It says, during the 3rd century, Quartodecimanism waned. It persisted in some Asiatic communities down to the 5th century. So according to this encyclopedia, there were those who continued to observe the 14th Passover into the 5th century. Again, I find this amazing. Almost 500 years into the church, there were those who continued to observe the 14th Passover. And as we saw, they did this because this was the same tradition, the same teaching, the same practice of the early apostles, of John and Philip and the others. Another point that's essential to understand is that as a church grew, so did anti-Semitism. One of the main reasons why the church tried to stamp out the observance of the 14th Passover was that the church wanted nothing to do with anything that was considered Jewish. They wanted to remove themselves as far as possible from anything that even remotely resembled Jewish worship. And we saw that in the quote, and we're going to see that as we go through this message. They wanted to remove the Jewish thought. It's important to understand that the Roman Church increasingly changed the once Hebraic faith that we find in the New Testament into something totally different, a Greco-Roman faith. The whole goal of the Quartodeciman controversy was to remove the Jewish elements from the Passover and Yahshua's impalement into a faith that more closely resembled the Greco-Roman thought of the church and the pagan converts at that time. Understand that rather than the church removing paganism, it chose to adopt it. And we can see this historically in many, many, many documents. This practice is called syncretism, when you take different beliefs and you mold it and meld it into your own. And this is the reason we have Christmas, Lent, Easter, Halloween, and many of the other Christian holidays we have today. We can prove, and anybody with an open mind, and I'm not saying this derogatory, but anybody with an open mind that wants to know the truth can prove that these days were all borrowed from paganism. The proof is astounding. You can open up any Bible encyclopedia dictionary and read about Easter and read about how they borrowed this from Ishtar, Astarte. For those who don't know, it was Constantine who ultimately put an end to the Cododecimon controversy in the Roman Church. We can read about this in the Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition. It says, quote, "A final settlement of the dispute was one among the other reasons which led Constantine to summon the council in Nicaea in 325. At that time, the Syrians and Antiochians were the solitary champions of the observance of the 14th day. The decision of the council was unanimous that Easter was to be kept on the same Sunday throughout the world, and that none hereafter should follow, listen to this, should follow the blindness of the Jews." Again, showing the anti-Semitic attitude in the early church. The few who afterward separated themselves from the unity of the church and continued to keep the 14th day were named Cododecimon, from the Latin word for 14, it says. And the dispute itself is known as a Cododecimon controversy. Most people don't realize the impact that Emperor Constantine made on the whole of Christianity. If it wasn't for Constantine, perhaps most of Christianity today would be observing the 14th Passover. Maybe some would be observing the seventh day Sabbath. Maybe even the feast days, the appointed times we find in Leviticus 23, because it was he who changed, in many ways, Christianity to what we see today. Now, we know that Constantine wasn't solely responsible for the changes, the transformation we see. But it was he who ratified and canonized the Greco-Roman faith that we see. It was Constantine who brought together the bishops of the Roman Empire at the first official Roman council, known as the Council of Nicaea in 325, to define Yahshua's essence, to establish the timing of Easter. And again, their main goal there was to separate the observance from anything that might be construed as Jewish, to ratify the New Testament canon, and also, again, to remove any vestiges of Jewish worship. What makes this topic so fascinating for me is to see how a once Hebraic faith was transformed into a religion that doesn't even come close to resemble of what we see in the New Testament now. Christianity today has taken on a whole new identity from what was taught by Yahshua and the apostles. And understand, and as we've seen, these changes took place slowly. And it was certain men who influenced the church, Constantine probably being the key emperor there making the change. Now, since we understand some of the history of the 14th, I would like now to look at the Passover. Look at some of the controversies today. Look at what Yahweh's word says when this day is kept. You know, it doesn't matter when we keep the Passover. Doesn't matter if we keep the Passover on the 14th or 15th. Can we keep the Passover at 12 noon, 3 p.m. or sunset? How important is it that we keep the Passover when Yahweh specifies in his word? How important is it? Let's turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9. And begin with verse 1. Numbers 9 verse 1 says, "And Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month and the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season." Notice verse 3. "In the 14th day of this month, at even, he shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it." Notice that, rites of it. "And according to all the ceremonies thereof shall you keep it. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, and that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness." Notice again, kept it 14th day at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses did so to the children of Israel. Verse 6, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that could not keep the Passover on that day, and that they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And they were basically that going to Moses asking, what do? We're unclean. We want to take part in the Passover, but we can't. So what do? Verse 10, Yahweh offers here the solution. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of the dead body, or be on a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Yahweh. Yahweh says, you will keep the Passover. If you don't do it now, you will do it. You will keep the Passover. Verse 11, the 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it. So he says, if you're not going to keep it the first month on the 14th day at even, you will keep it on the second month on the 14th day at even. And he says they're going to eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 12, that shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. We know Yahshua fulfilled that on the torture stake. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. Listen to this, verse 13. But the man who is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even that same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. So Yahweh says here, those who don't keep the Passover on his appointed time, that they're cut off and removed from his people. He says, if they refuse to bring their offering to me when I've appointed, they're cut off. You know, in your own evaluation, according to what we see here, how important is it that we keep the Passover when Yahweh specifies in his word? Do we have the authority? Do we have the justification to change the date of the Passover as the Jews did when they later combined the Passover and the feast? Or as the Roman church did during the Quadodeciman controversy when they changed it to Sunday? Or must we keep it when Yahweh says to? Must we obey Yahweh? Must we obey his word? The answer should be obvious. Yes, we're to obey his word. We're not to change Yahweh's word. We're to mold ourselves according to Yahweh's word, and not mold Yahweh's word to fit us, as so many do today. When it comes to the Passover, Yahweh is very specific. So specific that he says that we're cut off if we neglect and refuse to honor this day. Before we take an in-depth look at the Passover, I want to take a look at some key passages showing that the Passover is unequivocally on the 14th day of the month. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5. Leviticus 23, verse 5. It says, in the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. How could Yahweh possibly be more specific than what he is here? Yahweh says here unconditionally that the Passover is to be kept at even, at twilight, at dusk, according to the Hebrew, on the 14th day of the first month. Notice what he says in verse 6. Yahweh said in verse 6 that the feast then was to be kept on the 15th day of the first month. Yahweh shows here a distinction between the 14th and the 15th. He says, look, you're to keep the Passover on the 14th day of Abib, and you're to keep the 15th, the feast on the 15th of that same month. Let's look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 16, another passage, key passage, showing the distinction of Passover from the feast. 28 verse 16, Yahweh again repeats himself. He says, in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh. And in the 15th day, verse 17 of this month, is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. Just in case any of us had any doubt on what Yahweh said in Leviticus 23, he here reiterates himself. He says again that the Passover is on the 14th of Abib, and the feast is on the 15th. It's important to understand that the Passover and the feast are totally different and separate appointed times. The Passover is a memorial of the death of the firstborn and of Yahshua's impalement. The feast that follows commemorates Israel's physical removal from the Egyptians and of Yahshua's resurrection from the grave. Also, the Passover is a one-day memorial, and unleavened bread is a seven-day feast, which has two high days, which both prohibits work. Remember that while the Passover is a hallowed time, it's a set-apart time, it's a special time, a very special time, one of the most important days in the year. Let's not forget that it's not a high day. It's not a high day. It doesn't prohibit work. It doesn't prohibit work. It's a special time. It's a moed. It's a chag in Hebrew, but it is not a solemnity or a feast day or a high day. Let's begin our search now, and we're going to be looking mainly at some of the controversies that we see today and the real timing of the Passover, whether it's on the 14th, 15th, 12 noon, 3 p.m., sunset. We're going to consider all these points and see what Yahweh's word says about the timing of the Passover. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. Normally we start with the first passage speaking about the topic, and here Exodus 12 is the first passage talking about the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It's absolutely essential that we have a grasp of what's being said here. And verse 2 in the Hebrew, this month, this Kodesh from Kadash, new moon, to be new, to be rebuilt. This new moon shall be unto you the beginning of new moons. It shall be the first new moon of the year to you. That's what we see in the Hebrew. Verse 3, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Here we see how the lamb foreshadowed Yahshua. Verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. We know that our Savior was without blemish. He was perfect. He was sinless. A male of the first year, it says, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. So it could be a sheep or a goat. Verse 6 says here, this is a key passage, and possibly out of the Passover might be the most important passage in Yahweh's word, speaking about the Passover. It says, verse 6, and you shall keep it, meaning the Passover, or the Paschal Lamb, up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So here we see Moses writing and Yahweh commanding that we take this lamb on the 10th day, we keep it up until the 14th day, and we slaughter it in the evening. So again, to reiterate, we see it's on the 14th. The word until here is number 5704 odd in the Hebrew, and it means even unto, during, while, or until. And what we see here is Yahweh commanding that they take this lamb on the 10th day, and they slaughter it at the beginning, until the beginning of the 14th day of Abib, the first month. We also see that they're to do this in the evening. In the evening. This phrase here comes from the Hebrew phrase Ben Ha'abayim, and it means between the two evenings in English. And there's two different schools of thought when looking at this Hebrew phrase or the English between the two evenings. The first school of thought is that this time is from 12 noon or 3 p.m. to sunset. And that was the Pharisaic tradition. That's the way the Pharisees kept the Passover in the New Testament. The Sadducees, Karaites, both understand this phrase as referring from sunset to complete darkness. And this seems to be the general consensus of most scholars, which we're going to look at. And this is also the understanding of this ministry, that it's from sunset to complete darkness. Here's some word studies substantiating the meaning here. The Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew and English Lexicon says, between the evenings, that is probably between sunset and dark, showing again the time span between between the two evenings. Brother Jose brought this to me before a service today, and this is from the Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, and here's how it defines this phrase. It says, a phrase between the evenings means the period between sunset and darkness. In parentheses, it says twilight, Exodus 12:6. The Wilson's Old Testament Word Study says this. It says to be or grow dark, the evening when the day begins to be obscured. Between the evenings, the time when the paschal lamb was slain. The NIV Exhaustive Concordance says this. Evening, twilight, dusk, the fading of the day, twilight can be extended into the night. Says Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible says, through the idea of covering with a texture to grow dusky at sundown. So it seems the general understanding of Ben Ha'arabim is from sunset to complete darkness. We can also find proof elsewhere. For example, the Revised English Bible says Exodus 12:6, and then all the assembled community of Israel must slaughter the victims between dusk and dark. The James Moffat Bible says, when every member of the community of Israel shall kill it between sunset and dark. The Lamza Bible says, a whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at sunset. All the following versions here use the word twilight in reference to when the paschal lamb was slain. The Tanakh says twilight, New Revised Standard, the New American Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, New King James Bible, and the New International Version. So largely, the proof says that Ben Ha'arabim is defined from sunset to complete darkness. Besides looking at lexicons and looking at Yahweh's versions, we can also look at Yahweh's word. We can look at three different facts, I believe, that prove that between the two evenings refers from sunset to complete darkness. Fact number one, the entire Passover service and everything within it had to be done, had to be observed on the 14th of Abib. We saw that in Numbers chapter 9, verse 3. It said, in the 14th day of the month at even, you shall keep the Passover. And it goes on to say, according to all the rites of it, according to all the ceremonies thereof. So everything about the Passover has to be completed, observed on the 14th day of Abib. Fact number two, Yahweh's day begins at sunset. We can see this in Genesis 1 and many other passages. And it ends at sunset. And fact number three, the death angel came through Egypt at midnight on the 14th. And we can see that Exodus 12:29. So knowing again that all the rites of the Passover must be kept on the 14th, and knowing that the day begins and ends at evening, and knowing that the death angel came through at midnight, we know that the lamb could have only been slaughtered at the beginning of the 14th day of Abib. If the lamb was slaughtered at 12 noon or 3 p.m., and think about this, if it was slaughtered between this time, 12 noon or 3 p.m. on the Passover day, then the death angel would have passed through on the 15th. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you sacrifice the Passover lamb 12 noon or 3 p.m., and then the following midnight would go the death angel, would come through the death angel, that would place the death angel on the 15th of Abib, and that would contradict with Numbers chapter 9. So we can see that this passage is saying that we're to find this lamb, we're to select a lamb on the 10th day, we're to keep it until or up to the beginning of the 14th of Abib, and then slaughter the lamb between sunset and complete darkness. Let's drop down to verse 14. Verse 14. It says, "In this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to be the, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now, many people look at this passage and they try to surmise, they try to prove here that the Passover is a feast from verse 14. And again, look, it says, "And you shall keep it as a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast." At least that's what the English says. The word "it" in the first part of the verse there was added by translators. Really, this should read, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations." A feast. It's not connected necessarily with the first part of the first part of verse 14. And I believe that we can see two distinct thoughts here. The first part of verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial," speaking about the Passover. And the second part, I believe, here is speaking about the feast. And follow me here. It says, "And you shall keep a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days," verse 15, "7 days shall you eat unleavened bread." Now, verse 15 conclusively is speaking about the feast of unleavened bread. And it makes sense, and it seems to flow with the second part of verse 14. And it shows that the Passover here is not called a feast. It's not a high day. It's a memorial, as it says in the first part of verse 14. Skip down to verse 18 now. Verse 18, it says, "In the first month, in the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even." I've heard people use this passage to say that we're to eat unleavened bread from the start of the 14th stopping at the 21st day, which makes up, what, 7 days. So these same people will say, "Look, here's proof. The Passover and the feast are one and the same. The Passover starts on the 14th, so does unleavened bread." And they extend 7 days and they stop at the 21st day. The problem is, Scripture says otherwise. There is an explanation here. The word "until," we looked at this in verse 6. That's odd in verse 6. And it does mean up to or unto a certain point, at the beginning of that point. But this word can also mean to advance through. And I'm going to show you the Hebrew, and I'm going to show you an example of how this word is used. First is from 5704. Odd is from 5703. 5703 is from 5710, the prime root. The 5704, and it means to advance or to pass on or continue. So Yahweh here is saying that we're to continue through the 1 and 20th day. And what does that do? That gives us 8 days. We know that the Passover is on the 14th day. And we know then that the feast is on the 15th day and continues, what, for 7 days. And we know Scripture says we're to eat unleavened bread with the Passover. And we're to eat unleavened bread for the 7 days of the feast. And that's what this passage is saying, that we're to eat unleavened bread from the evening of the 14th through the evening of the 21st, which would be 8 days, which would include the Passover and the feast. Let's look at verse 15 again. Verse 15 says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. We're to remove the leaven during this time. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day. Now, if we would interpret this as many do, we would say, oh, you know what, we can stop the 7th day and we've fulfilled Yahweh's word, that we only have to eat unleavened bread for 6 days. But no, Yahweh is saying here, because we know from other passages, we're to eat leavened bread or unleavened bread and remove the leaven for 7 complete days. We can look at Leviticus 23, verse 6 to verify this. But this passage, this verse, shows the usage of this word "ad" or "adah" in the case of its prime root. And it shows that this word means to stop at a certain point and to go through, depending on the context of the passage. Let's now look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 25. Exodus chapter 34, verse 25. I know many of these passages are somewhat technical, but I believe it's important to understand the Passover. It's important, it's crucial to understand when Yahweh said to keep this day. The implications are astounding. You know, when we understand what this day means and what Yahweh says about it. Let's look at verse 25. Verse 25 of Exodus 34. It says, let's look at the second part. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. And people will say, any place, you know, these people can find feast and Passover together, even though it makes no sense at all. They just grab onto it and they're going to run with it, no matter if it makes sense scripturally or not. And my first question here, if we're to interpret this word feast in verse 25 as an actual 24-hour day, Yahweh says that we're not to allow the feast to be left unto the morning. How can we prevent a 24-hour day from occurring in the morning? We can't do it. We're not speaking about a day. We're not speaking about a time. The Hebrew word for this is chag. And it means a festival or a victim thereof. So it does mean a festival, does mean a high day, can be used to refer to a holy day. But it also means victim thereof. Two different meanings. Which meaning fits? What makes more sense? To say that we can't leave the feast a day unto the morning, or we can't leave the paschal victim, the Passover lamb, unto the morning. I'd like to read out of the five books of Moses. Everett Fox is the author, the editor. And here's how he translates this verse. He says, "You are not to leave overnight until morning the pilgrimage offering of Passover," connecting it with the Passover lamb that was slaughtered. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 for just one quick moment. I'm going to point out something. Exodus 12, look at verse 10. It says in verse 10, "And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning." Speaking of the Passover lamb, "you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning." We also saw that in Numbers chapter 9. And that's what Exodus 34, 25 is referring to. What Yahweh is saying here, let me just read this the way it should be read. "Neither shall the sacrifice of the Passover victim be left unto the morning." We can see that again in Exodus 12, 10, in Numbers 9, in many of the in Deuteronomy 16, which we're going to look at next, actually. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, let's begin with verse 1. This passage is often misunderstood. It speaks of both the Passover and the feast. It really doesn't separate the two all that well. So people read this and they believe that the Passover and the feast are, again, one and the same, when we do, in fact, see a distinction in chapter 16. So let's start with verse 1. It says, "Observe the month of Abib." Let's stop here and just look at the Hebrew. It says, "Observe" is shamar, shamar. And it means to watch for, to guard in some cases, but to watch for. "The month, Kodesh, new moon, of Abib, young ears of grain." So what is this saying in Hebrew? Watch for the new moon of young ears of grain. That's what this literally says in the Hebrew. Watch for the new moon of young ears of grain. And this is precisely what we're doing this month. We're watching for these, this next new moon so that we can mark the beginning of Yahweh's calendar. And he says, "And keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim in the month of Abib. Yahweh the Elohim brought thee forth out of the land, out of Egypt by night." They left at night. They left at the beginning of the 15th, the end of the 14th. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice a Passover unto Yahweh the Elohim of the flock and of the herd in the place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name. The word herd there is from the Hebrew bakar, and it's an animal of the ox kind. And the JPS Torah commentary says that rabbinical rabbis understand this as an extra, a special offering. It's not part of the actual Passover victim or paschal lamb. It's part of a special, distinct offering. Some people are confused with that herd, that bovine there. But we see that verse 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy 16 is speaking of the Passover. We can see that in verse 1, and we can see also in verse 2 where it says, keep the Passover unto Yahweh, so on and so forth. Verse 3 through the first part of verse 4 is speaking about unleavened bread. And we're going to see this by the context. Actually, let's continue with verse 3, because last part of verse 3 there is also speaking about Passover. It says, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. The only command of not eating leavened bread with something is the Passover itself. So we know from context, from Exodus 12 and other passages, that the first part of verse 3 is speaking about the Passover. Now the rest of verse 3 and the first part of verse 4 is speaking about unleavened bread. It says, 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. They came out at the beginning of the 15th at night, it says. At night. And we know that the day begins at evening. Verse 4, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts, all thy borders, everything we own. That actually means your country, basically. Now, we can't physically remove it from the U.S., but we can move it from our property and our homes, anything that's leavened. And here it says to do that all 7 days, so we know that this is speaking about unleavened bread. Verse 3, in the first part of verse 4, again, is speaking about unleavened bread. Now, the second part of verse 4 through verse 7 is speaking about Passover. It says, neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrifice the first day at even, at twilight, remain all night until the morning. Where did we just see this? Exodus 34:25. It says you will not leave, you can't leave this until the morning. And we also read that in Exodus 12:10. So we know that this is speaking about the Passover. Verse 5, that thou mayest not sacrifice a Passover within any of thy gates which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. Again, verse 5, Passover. Verse 6, but at the place which Yahweh thy Elohim choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun. Another indication at sunset, at the going down of the sun, the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Again, speaking about Passover. Verse 7, and thou shalt roast and eat it, what? The Passover lamb, in the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. Again, the latter part of verse 4 through verse 7 speaks of the Passover, and we can see that from the context and from what we know from other passages. Verse 8 is speaking about unleavened bread. It says, 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to Yahweh the Elohim. Thou shalt do no work therein. We know, again, that unleavened bread is a festival, a feast of 7 days that prohibits leavened, and that contains two high days, one on the first day, one on the last day. During these days, no work is permitted or allowed. Let's look at one more passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 21. Says, in the first month, in the 14th day of the month, ye shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. Now this is a real tough one for many. And it says, the Passover, a feast of 7 days. If we look at this, if we read it for what it says, it seems to indicate that the Passover is a feast of 7 days, which would require that this day be part of the 7-day feast of unleavened bread. Basically, as many propose, this passage proves that Passover and the feast are one and the same. But we have to look a little bit deeper than what we see in the King James. The Tanakh has an excellent way of putting this passage. So I'm going to read out of the Tanakh here, Ezekiel 45, 21. And this is what the Tanakh says. On the 14th day of the first month, you shall have the Passover sacrifice, semicolon, end of thought. And then it says, and during a festival of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. So it shows a distinction here in the Tanakh. We have the Passover, and then it says, and then during a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. Again, showing that there's two different days, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Before we look at the misunderstood passages in the New Testament, I want to first put down an argument that many propose, and that is that Yahshua never partook of the Passover. This belief has serious consequences. It's unbelievable when we understand the ramifications of what this belief is proposing. This belief basically states Yahshua never partook of the Passover. We know from Numbers 9:13 that those who don't partake of the Passover, when Yahweh appoints, that they're cut off, that they're removed. And if this is true, and if Yahshua did not take part, if he did not partake of the Passover, he then would have been cut off, defiled, and therefore disqualified as our Savior. And his blood and his sacrifice and his pain and his atonement and everything that went along with it would have been for naught. So there's serious, serious, serious consequences for this belief. Let's look at a few passages. You might want to write these down. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 18. It says, wrong chapter. 18. And he said, go, Yahshua speaking, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I, who's speaking? Yahshua, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. He said he would keep the Passover. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 14, verse 14. It says, and wheresoever he shall go and say to the good man of the house, the master says, there is the guest chamber where I shall eat. Again, Yahshua speaking, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. Verse 22 says, and as they did eat, who's there? Yahshua and the apostles, they, including Yahshua. Yahshua took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Verse 25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more. What does that imply? That he had drank. That he had partake of the Passover supper. Says, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of Elohim. Let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 8. It says, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us, including Yahshua, the Passover that we may eat. And look at verse 15. And he shall say unto the good men of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is a good guest chamber where I shall eat? Again, showing Yahshua ate the Passover. Verse 15. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 disciples with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now tell me Yahshua never partook of the Passover. There is substantial, overwhelming proof that Yahshua partook, and again, the consequences of saying otherwise are horrible, because you'd be nullifying Yahshua's very atonement. Let's look again at Matthew chapter 26. I think time's a little bit short, so we're going to be going through these rather quickly. Chapter 26, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Yahshua had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. People stop here and they say, here's your proof. Here is proof calling the feast, the Passover a feast. But the problem is the word feast there was added by translators. It's not in the Greek. It's just not there. This passage should read, after 2 days is the Passover. The word feast, again, is not there in the Greek. It's not in the original manuscripts. Look at verse 5. Here's a Jew. They're trying to kill Joshua. They're trying to come up with some sort of plan to just kill Joshua, put him out once and for all. And he says, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. They understood that they could not keep the Passover, that they could not kill Joshua on the Passover. That they could not kill him on a feast, which shows again the Passover is not a feast. There's no proof showing this. Let's look at verse 17. Verse 17, it says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Joshua, saying unto him, where will thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Notice in verse 17 it says, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, and people again try to make the connection that Passover is the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. The problem is the Greek doesn't bear this out. And notice also that the word day and feast was added in that verse. But the Greek word there is protos. It's from 44:13, and it means foremost in time, place, order, importance. And is translated as before or beginning. And the word, the root of protos is pro, 44:13, and it means in front of or prior to. So what we see here is Matthew saying that now before the feast of unleavened bread. Before. It wasn't the first day. It was before. Because again, the word day, the word feast isn't there. And that word proto should be before and not first. Again, you can look in the Greek and you can see that that is true. Look at Luke chapter 22 now. Luke chapter 22. And we'll look at verse 1. It says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. They'll say, here's more evidence. It says, the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, showing a connection between the two, showing that the two are one and the same, showing that the Passover is the feast, and the feast is the Passover. But look what it says. It says, called the Passover. As I said in the beginning of this message, the Pharisees kept the Passover and the feast as one observance. They went with the tradition that it was combined, and they called it a feast. So I think Luke here is simply admitting and acknowledging the practice of the day, because there were those who called the Passover part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because again, the Pharisees kept it that way, but the Sadducees did not. So there was a distinction here that we need to understand. Let's drop down to verse 7. Verse 7. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And people say, you know, how do you explain this? It was the very day of unleavened bread and they're killing the Passover. Again, seemingly showing that these two observances are one and the same. But again, we have to go to the Greek. We have to understand what Yah was saying here. The Greek word is 2250 hemera, and it means a time between dusk or between dawn and dark, 24-hour period, or just a period always defined more or less by context. I want to read this real quick. It's from the Complete Word Study New Testament. And here's what it says under its lexical aid. It brings out a really good definition here. The day is distinguished from night as a division of time, it says, sometimes used, however, of a longer space of time. So it shows that it can mean just a day, but it can also mean a longer period of time, like a period or a season of time. And that's what Luke's saying here. He's simply saying it was the season of unleavened bread and the Passover. You know, we do that today. When we go somewhere to keep the Passover, do we say we're going to keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? No, we just say we're going for unleavened bread or we're going for Passover. We understand the distinction. Luke understood the distinction. And he was simply saying this was the season, the time that the unleavened bread, that the Passover lamb was slain. John 13 is another passage. I don't think we have time to really look at that. The word feast there is in the original. And I think with that passage, we have to understand again that was the practice of the time by the Pharisees. And I think John was simply acknowledging the practice of the day. But certainly, we have seen sufficient proof showing that these 2 days are different, they're distinct. One's on the 14th, one's on the 15th. As Yahweh's people, we were given a commission almost 2,000 years ago, and that was to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. When talking about the Passover, Yahweh's word is very specific on when we're to keep this day and the consequences for those who would deny this truth. Again, as we read in Numbers chapter 9, those who would forsake this truth, who would ignore this truth, are cut off as Yahweh's people. If we only go halfway with Yahweh's truth, then don't anticipate Yahweh's blessings. We need to dig deep. We need to uncover those treasures Yahweh has in His word. We can't just go surface level. When we don't understand something, when something doesn't seem to fit, we need to study. We need to look into it. Because these things are important. The Passover is one of the most important appointed times, Moedim, in Yahweh's word. And it's critical that we understand its importance and when we're to keep this day. Yahshua told the Laodiceans, I don't want you, lukewarm, either be hot or cold. And we need to be that way. We need to walk. We need to be hot for Yahweh's word, on fire for Yahweh's word, and search into these things so that we're doing what Yahweh's will is. We're doing and we're walking a life worthy of Yahweh's calling. And may Yahweh bless you.
Thank you, Brother Andy.